People of the world, let's get together.
Nikki Meshelter on the All Pause Pet Talk Network. You're spending the next hour or so with me, Jill Sullivan from Project Positive, where we provide extreme renovations for animal shelters in need. We are here with just Dr. Carol today. Everything is just all Dr. Carol. We're really excited. Before we get started, I want to remind everyone that this show is brought to you by Pet Life Stores. Check them out at petlifestores.com and head into any one of their 15 locations to get $2 off your next bag of pet food when you mention All Pause. Also, we are brought to you by Welly Tales, Welly Tales, which are human-grade supplements to keep your pet healthy. Go to wellytales.com and use the code ALLPAWS at checkout and save 15%. So we're with Dr. Carol, as I said. Every time we have Dr. Carol, I talk about an awful lot of places that Dr. Carol has been because she's such an expert in her field. So I wanted to mention some different avenues that she, different news and TV and all of that kind of good stuff that Dr. Carol has been featured in. So you may not know that Dr. Carol also has been a contributor to Dog Fancy Magazine, Natural Dog, Dog World, Veterinarian Economics Magazine, Cat Fancy, Groomer to Groomer, Icelandic Horse and Travel, Equine Outlet, Athlete, and her editorial contributions also include InStyle Magazine, Woman's World, and Icon Magazine, as well as Fit Magazine and the National Enquirer, and that's why we have her back time and time again. So welcome, Dr. Carol. Great to have you here today.
Well, I'm delighted to join you, Jill.
Thank you. Okay, so we have, let's get right into it. We have a couple of interesting news topics to talk about today. Not the happiest or most pleasant, but, you know, something important, and I think we should definitely talk about that. There's an article in the news today by Richard Conniff. He is from TakePart.com, and he's saying here that Trap, Neuter, Return, or TNR, isn't working when it comes to feral cats. That's his opinion. He's saying here that various estimates say anywhere between 20 million to 100 million feral cats are roaming the United States. I mean, these numbers are staggering to me because when I hear 20 to 100 million, I'm certainly not thinking that's happening right in our country. So these are animals that are just wandering free. And he's saying here that every year they kill billions of birds, mammals, and other animals each year. So TNR, again, stands for Trap, Neuter, Return, and it's what some animal rescue organizations work very hard to do. They capture the feral cats, they immunize them, they neuter them, and they send them back out to wander free, where essentially their theory is that if they do this, they're helping to reduce these sort of big cat colonies. So in this article, he's saying that a lot of these advocates cite two specific studies that show one in Central Florida that says they are able to reduce a certain population in Orlando by 66% by doing the trap, neuter, and release in return. But on closer examination, he's saying that the study showed that only 47% of the cat population was removed through adoption and some other programs. What he's also saying, there's also another study in Rome that they're using as a success story, saying that out of 103 cat colonies in Rome, that they were able to reduce the population in 55 of the cat colonies. He's saying while the other 48 had gained population or strayed. So my question for you, Dr. Carol, this idea of trap, neuter, return, how does it work? I mean, we're talking about feral cats, and well, actually, let's talk about that. What is a feral cat compared to a domesticated cat? What's the difference?
That's a great question. A feral cat is defined as a domestic cat that has returned to the wild.
Okay.
Currently, they estimate that we've got about 50 million feral cats in the United States.
Wow.
And the situation, as you mentioned, yes, they do. They're responsible for killing approximately 3.7 million birds per year.
Wow.
But with respect to all these feral cats, a couple of things I think that are pertinent that are actually sort of pluses.
Okay, could we actually take a quick break and come right back to talk about that?
Of course.
Okay, great. Everyone, now we'll be right back after these messages.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
People of the world, let's get together. Let's all make this world a better place.
Welcome back to Gimme Shelter on the All Paws Pet Talk Network. So we're with Dr. Carol, and we are talking about TNR, trap, neuter, return. And so, Dr. Carol, before the break, you were really letting us know, you were explaining what a feral actually means.
Yeah, feral cats are simply defined as domestic cats that have returned to the wild.
Okay.
At this point, estimates show about 50 million feral cats here in the United States. As you mentioned earlier, they kill a lot of birds, which is unfortunate. They're responsible for killing about 3.7 million birds each year.
Wow.
What is the problem with feral cats? Well, there's a few. First of all, feral cats, just as colonies, what happens there? Well, they're wormy. You know, they populate fleas, and it's a source for the continued spread of terrible diseases, including feline leukemia and feline immunovirus, which is kind of like feline AIDS. Mm-hmm. And that's just in addition to the fact that they're, you know, obviously a nuisance. A couple of good things is that some of these colonies of feral cats are actually being used to reduce the rat population. And in that, they've got nonprofits sort of working on this, but they are actually using different colonies of cats for rat population control programs. And apparently they're having quite a bit of good luck with that.
No kidding.
Yeah. Now there's some interesting laws too. For example, in Indiana, if you feed a feral cat, by law, that cat becomes yours. For people that might want to feed feral cats and, you know, looking to get a cat and that can't afford it, some of these TNR programs also offer these people vouchers, you know, to help pay for the cost of the spays and neuters.
That's so great.
You know, which I think is nice.
Yeah.
They've got, you know, the biggest thing I think is that certainly just going out and putting these traps and baits down to kill these cats, it would be nice if they could find a way to do things a little more specifically, a little bit nicer, because in doing that, they also eliminate, you know, a lot of things other than just the cats that they were so intended to eliminate.
Well, what I find so interesting too in this article, it's saying specifically there, one of the one of sort of the studies that they're talking about is one that happened in Rome, which I guess they had like 103 colonies out there, and they were able to use this sort of TNR program on 55 of them, and it did significantly reduce the population through trapping, neutering, and returning, where the other 48 colonies either continued to expand or stayed the same. But what was interesting about what Richard was saying was that Rome doesn't have a rabies problem, yet in our country, we're spending, you know, $300 million a year on preventatives, which I guess I never thought that rabies was such a problem in the U.S., but I guess maybe what they're saying is, no, it's the preventatives that we're putting into place that makes rabies not such a big problem. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, right now, according to the latest research I can find, approximately 300 rabid cats are reported each year in the U.S.
Wow.
The CDC estimates that 16% of the people in our country who undergo rabies treatment have been exposed to this virus because of a cat.
Now, Dr. Carroll, if I'm just walking, you know, I'm in a small city in New Hampshire, in Portsmouth, so I'm walking down the street and I spot a cat, how would I know if it was a feral cat or not? Or would I?
Well, you may or may not. Generally, you know, a feral cat is not domesticated. It's not tamed. It's not suitable to live with people. And in most cases, they're not even suitable for adoption.
Okay.
So if you were to walk up to a feral kitty, chances are he would look at you and go the other direction.
And run away. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it's not like we're seeing them out in the general population all of the time.
Yeah. And that's why a lot of these nonprofits and various groups are creating these outdoor colonies where these cats are fed and cared for as a humane alternative, if you will.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Carroll. All right. So let's come back in a minute after these messages and talk about the mudslide in Washington. Everyone will be right back.
Love for the human race, make it a better place.
I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Lick the plate. I'm hungry. Tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Lick the plate. I'm hungry. Tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Welcome back to Gimme Shelter on the All Paws Pet Talk Network. I just want to remind everyone that this show is brought to you by Pet Life Stores. You can visit them at PetLifeStores.com, or you can head into any of their 15 locations in New England. Mention this radio station, All Paws, and get $2 off your next bag of pet food, which, I mean, really is a pretty good deal. Also, it's brought to you by Welly Tails, which are human-grade supplements to keep your pet healthy. Go to Welly Tails, that's WellyTails.com, and use the code ALLPAWS at checkout to save 15%. So we're back with Dr. Carroll. And Dr. Carroll, during the break, we were talking about something pretty interesting. You were saying that a certain amount of states require rabies vaccinations, meaning there's a certain amount of states that don't. So can you talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Only 38 states require rabies vaccine for dogs.
Wow.
Versus 30 for cats, which quite honestly, I was not aware of.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, so the thing with the feral cats is they're worried about wildlife exposure and hence, you know, rabies transmission to people, in that since the 70s, rabies transmission from dogs has pretty much been eradicated in the United States. Mm-hmm. But the concern here is that that has not happened with cats. So they're worried that these feral cat colonies are going to cause the incidence of rabies to spike, which is certainly a very valid concern. I think it's also worthwhile to simply mention that when these people, when they trap, neuter, and vaccinate, and then return these feral cats to the wild, what that means in their estimation is that these cats would remain healthy and disease-free, and that the colonies will eventually die out. That's per Becky Robinson, who's the co-founder of Alley Cat Alleys in Bethesda, Maryland. They have people caring for these feral colonies in all 50 states.
I mean, it's really amazing. I went and visited a similar organization in New Hampshire, and you know, these volunteers, I mean, are doing this with such passion as well. So I definitely want to, you know, say that we recognize these efforts. And you know, when you're considering, you know, 50 million feral cats out there, I mean, it's really it seems like an overwhelming task to do these TNR treatments, but absolutely something that, I mean, these volunteers should absolutely be applauded. So very interesting information. Thank you, Dr. Carroll. I think you brought a lot of great education.
Yeah, I mean, basically the animal groups are trying to voice their opinion that wild cat colonies are a humane alternative to euthanasia.
Okay, got it. Okay, great. Thank you for that insight. Another topic that I wanted to talk to you about is, of course, everyone's been hearing about that just terrible, terrible mudslide that took place in Darrington, Washington. And of course, just the human lives that were lost, absolutely, absolutely horrible. And you know, we send our deepest condolences. Another part of it, too, is unfortunately the animals that were also hurt and killed in this just devastating disaster. I'm looking here and I'm reading this article that's talking about a dog who had broken its leg. So it did survive, but broke its leg, and it did have to have its leg removed. 37 horses displaced, 10 dogs missing. All of this sort of just horrible, horrible tragedy. And what they're talking about here, which I just, you know, it just shows such outpouring and care, is the amount of what people are doing is they're making these sort of makeshift shelters for these animals where all of a sudden they don't know where their owners are. And they're donating food and, you know, just creating these environments for them to be able to, you know, survive through this. And it's saying here that so far it's had nearly 45,000 pounds of food donated. And also on Saturday alone, 27 tons of donated food from Purina. So I think that's just absolutely amazing. But it's just hard to, I mean, when you see such a disaster, I mean, your heart must just go out to them and wanting to help as much as you could, I assume too, Dr. Carroll.
Absolutely. It's a travesty. And the thing is, we've had so many tragedies, if you will, in environmental disasters, you know, from floods to mudslides to earthquakes. And that's why we've even got something called Animal Disaster Preparedness Day.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's take a quick break and come back. And I want to talk about that exact thing, what we can do in the event that an emergency happens to us. So everyone, let's take a break. We'll come right back.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA from family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health, and just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy, and the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Has your life gone to the dogs? Are you at your wit's end? We can help. At America's Canine Academy, our specialists can put an end to the mutt mayhem and magically stop the destructive behaviors that your crazed canine has developed. We offer step-by-step guidance and make-sense techniques that will turn your problem dog into a calm, stable, and well-behaved companion. And we can even do it all by phone. Even from afar, we can assess a dog-gone-wrong situation and help you recapture your sanity. Call 877-WE-WHISPER, americascanineacademy.net, where dog whisperers are trained.
People of the world, let's get together.
I know.
Let's all make this world a better place.
We're back. Give Me Shelter on the All Paws Pet Talk Network. We're talking with Dr. Carol. So, Dr. Carol, before break, you brought up Animal Disaster Preparedness Day. I hope that got that right. So let's talk about that. It's an event every year, and it's coming up.
Coming up on May the 8th. And, you know, Jill, just like people are urged constantly to be prepared for natural disasters at all times, it's equally important that we remember to prepare our four-legged family members who are unable to fend for themselves, you know, in times of crisis. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, also called FEMA, and the United States Department of Homeland Security have issued all kinds of tips and guidelines to help people, you know, not only with, you know, tornadoes, hurricanes, pandemics, as well as, you know, all kinds of other natural disasters. And the number one tip for pet owners is don't evacuate your home and leave your pets behind.
Right.
You know, it's important to understand that many shelters don't allow pets in during a disaster. So the take home message here is learn the rules before the crisis occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And pet owners, you need to have a backup plan. Okay. So there's a couple of really interesting things. There's a website and it's called ready.gov.
Okay. I'm writing that down.
ready.gov/caring-animals. And basically, this website offers instructions and care for pets as well as, you know, for large animals. You know, number one, they talk about identifying a source of shelter. Many emergency shelters obviously cannot accept pets. They also offer links to find out what hotels and motels in your area allow pets in the case that you have to do an evacuation.
Sure.
Important, just common sense things. You need to take a little food, bottled water, medications, veterinary records, your kitty's litter pan, as well as the litter, food dishes, first aid kit, and all kinds of other supplies. And a great idea, make yourself a little pet survival kit.
Oh.
So that it could easily be deployed if disaster strikes. And obviously, no one plans for a disaster. You know, make sure your pet's ID tags are up to date, that they're securely fastened. If you could stick your phone number on there, that's a great thing to do. Having a carrier and a current photo is always good.
Okay. That's a really great idea, Dr. Carol, to have the picture. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. With respect to large animals, horses in this case that we talked about also affected in the current mudslide. Again, all animals should have some form of identification if possible. And then obviously you want to evacuate these animals, and beforehand, again, before the emergency or the disaster strikes, somebody should have mapped out primary and secondary evacuation routes so that if one route doesn't work, bang, you know, you can try the next route.
You know, you made a really good point here. You said a lot of us, I mean, we never know when a disaster is going to strike. That's the thing. And I think, you know, a lot of times, like last year, I'm in New England and we had an earthquake. And I mean, the whole house shook, but it wasn't something that caused me to have to obviously evacuate or anything. But you never know when it can. So I think these are excellent tips.
Yeah, absolutely. They also give you, again, if you don't know what to do, go to the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Their website gives you fabulous information, as does the American Humane Association.
Okay.
In addition to which, for English or Spanish speaking people, the Palo Alto Humane Society, PAHS, offers animal-specific information that is bilingual.
Ah, excellent.
They also, this ready.gov site, they offer a little brochure that you can go right online and download at no charge at all, that just goes over emergency preparedness for pet owners, families, seniors, those who are disabled, as well as various businesses.
Okay, great. You know, Dr. Carroll, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have one segment left with Dr. Carroll. What I want to talk about, Dr. Carroll, is, okay, so it's not a natural disaster, but we definitely have an emergency situation going on with our pet in our home. And I want you to help us figure out how to keep calm and what the next steps are. So everyone hold tight. We will be right back after these messages.
Love for the human race, make it a better race.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-caller technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Callers that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
People of the world, let's get together.
Welcome back to Gimme Shelter on the All Paws Pet Talk Network. We're talking with Dr. Carol. We've been talking about natural disasters, how to, you know, how to really be prepared for that. So this segment, what I want to talk about with Dr. Carol is it's not a natural disaster, but something is happening with our pet at home and we need first aid tips. So Dr. Carol, let's talk about this. Not a natural disaster, but something's going on with our pet. What do we do?
Well, first of all, it's a great idea to have a first aid kit. Certainly, despite your best efforts, emergencies of all kinds occur. So what do you want to do? You want to have a first aid kit all ready to go. You want to have the telephone number of your veterinarian, as well as that of a local emergency facility posted right where everyone knows where it is.
Okay, good idea.
What are good things to have on hand in your first aid kit? Certainly the basics, you know, a thermometer, bandage materials, scissors, adhesive tape, a little triple antibiotic ointment like for cuts and scrapes, as well as dressing for wounds, a little artificial tears to just, you know, flush the eyes out, a blanket to use for warmth or as a stretcher, a little bit of dishwashing liquid. They have like a grease cutting action. So like if you have a cat, let's say, you can bathe the cat after the kitty's skin may have become exposed to insecticides, potpourri oil, or whatever, you know, too many flea products. And a couple things. A little bit of a Bach flower rescue remedy. It's great. It just calms the pet down as well as the person.
Yes, I love that.
In times of an emergency. And a little arnica. That's a little homeopathic pellet. But you can get it in liquid or pills. But a couple of pills every 15 minutes on the way to the vet helps to calm people down and relieve pain and inflammation initially.
Oh.
Styptic powder stops bleeding, for example, if you have a torn toenail. Serum of Ipecac, 1 teaspoon per 10 pounds of body weight, can be used to induce vomiting if your pet got into something that you want to get up so it doesn't, you know, cause a further problem, if you will.
Dr. Carol, can I ask a question about that?
Of course.
So I have labs. Obviously, they will eat anything. when do you know, so let's say it's a larger foreign object that you think they ate. I mean, when do you not want to induce vomiting?
With respect to a foreign object or a foreign element, in my experience as a veterinarian, you do not want to induce vomiting because if there's jagged edges, et cetera, on that, it's going to cause as much damage passing down through the intestine as it would coming up, you know, if you induced vomiting.
Sure.
So I think that's kind of risky. But if your pet has gotten into something or eaten something, you know, whether it's a holiday and it's a big bowl of candy or chocolate or treats, that's when vomiting, inducing vomiting really comes in handy.
Okay.
If it's been less than 2 hours since the food or whatever it might have been is eaten, you can go ahead and induce vomiting. You can use the serum of Ipecac. Quite honestly, I use hydrogen peroxide.
Mm-hmm.
Use about a fourth of a cup for 25 to 35 pounds. If you don't have a syringe at home, you can use a turkey baster, squirt it down the mouth, and basically you can repeat the dosage at 15-minute intervals up to 3 times. And normally you will really get some vomiting and you'll get all that bad stuff out.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
If it's over 2 hours, again, you need to go to the vet because at 2 hours, it's passed through the stomach. So your ability to induce vomiting, you know, has passed.
Okay. Okay. Good to know. I think that's a great, because sometimes, you know, it's kind of like, ooh, I'm not really sure what to do. So that's great. So we have about 45 seconds left. Let's talk about a few more first aid tips. And then I really want to direct people to your amazing blog with tons of information. Actually, we've only got 30 seconds left. So let's do that, Dr. Carol. Where can people learn about the rest of these first aid tips on your site?
Absolutely. Just visit our blog. It's blog.drcarol.com. blog.drcarol.com. You can also just log into our website, drcarol.com, abbreviated D-R-C-A-R-O-L, and that'll link you right back to the blog. And all these emergencies and natural disaster preparedness issues are posted there, along with a whole lot of other information that many pet owners should find useful.
Thank you so much for being with us here again, Dr. Carol. You've given us just such a great amount of information. Everyone, we'll see you next week. Have a great week.